Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Let's pray. Father, this morning we want to say thank you. Thank you for your kindness and thank you for your love. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for a day like this, the Lord, you have made. We know you have put this day together and that there are only good things in store for us. As we've come into your presence, we pray that, Lord, you affect our lives. You will change us. You speak to us. You will not allow us to leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, and somebody said, yeah. Wow, you may be seated, please. Hallelujah. Wow. You're welcome to church this morning.
Amen.
Also welcome for those that are here for Mr. Michael Tom and Wendy Lavelle's wedding ceremony. You're also welcome. This is the Lighthouse Chapel International, the church with direction for your life. Amen. Okay, I want to preach and then we proceed from there. The words of Jesus. The words of Jesus. I'm preaching from a book by Bishop Dagwood Mills. The words of Jesus. And we've been looking at the words of Jesus this past couple of days. And I believe that it's very, very important for us to be reminded that nobody's words are that important but that of Jesus Christ. You see, we live in a society where there are so many things trying to attract our attention. So many things trying to attract our attention. Especially in Guyana, where there has been a change of government. I mean, every day you want to read what the papers are saying. Now, Parliament, I've not gone close, but I think that they have something for us to know what is going on inside, isn't it? I passed somewhere, not so close, but I think I heard the debate. I think it was something. I don't know whether it's a speaker outside or something that you hear the people. It's a lot of things around trying to compete for our attention. And those things, as they compete for our attention, they also try to force us to listen to them and to live our lives according to how they want us to live our lives. How many are here and you've not gone home as yet? You're still here. All right. So there are so many things in the world. Financial issues, house lot, a little 40 by 80 that they will give us out of all this, how many square miles we have available, relationships, school, all kinds of things are out there trying to get our attention. As Christians, we need to know what we are about. And we need to understand that there's only one voice that can be so strong to us, that can be so strong to our lives, and that is the words of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus came into this world, he lived his life, he died at a very young age, but he spoke some profound things. He made some wild statements whilst he was here. In fact,
people are quoted every day. I mean, men in history, I remember, I'm sure one of the popular quotes we quote, is it what, Martin Luther King Jr.? I have a dream. I have a dream. And anybody who has a dream, you know, rejoices with that when that is said. I think it's JFK, John F. Kennedy, who said that the time has come for Americans not to think of what America can do for them or what they can do for America. People have Macbeth. This is Shakespeare who said that you can't see the mind's construction in the face. So there are words, quoted words, references and all of that. But you and I cannot be blind to the fact that, or cannot be ignorant to the fact that one of the greatest voices to us is the voice of Jesus Christ. One of the greatest words we must cling to and connect ourselves to is the words of Jesus Christ. Now, I can see, I see Jesus making statements in two categories. I mean, there's so many things Jesus made. Jesus made statements all over. He said so many things. Some of the things he said, people wanted to kill him for the things he said. Sometimes when he felt like he doesn't have to say anything, he wouldn't say anything. But I see Jesus like a teacher who is preparing students for an examination. Let's say CSEC. And he speaks about certain questions to expect. He speaks about certain questions you must expect. If you're going to do maths, it's as for fractions, you should expect a question on fractions. As for decimals, you must expect something on decimals. Talk about what? Geometry. Talk about what? Simultaneous equations. Set. As for set, yeah, you'll get it. You'll get union, you get intersection, you'll get where a four corner, everywhere you will do, you get all of them. It will come. Now, that is how I see Jesus Christ in some of the things he said. Because Jesus made statements that we will also hear when we get to heaven. Whether we like it or not. I see Jesus also as a guide, like a tour guide in this wicked and dark world, where he tells us and speaks to us about how we must live our lives and the things we must pay attention to. For example, Jesus said, for the first one that I said, Jesus said, anybody who used the word fool or raka to his brother will be in danger of hellfire. Which means that we who even don't use fool is not an insult for us. We have S and F and B and all kinds of things we use. That is even far worse than fool. But Jesus said, any idle word that we will use, we will give account of it. The second area where I said it's like a tour guide, Jesus says, lay up not for yourself treasures here on earth, where thieves break in and steal, but do that in a place where thieves cannot break in and steal. So that's like a tour guide. You go somewhere and you don't know how to move around, and you have somebody who knows what to do. Like if you go to Jerusalem, I've not been to Jerusalem before, but those who have been to Jerusalem, they tell us that when you go to Jerusalem, there are several sites that there are tour guides. They will take you to the Mount of Temptation, the mountain where Jesus was tempted by the devil. They will take you there. They will take you to the supposed tomb of Jesus Christ. They will take you to the River Jordan where Jesus was baptized. They will take you to several places. They will guide you. They guide you. Do you get it? And I see Jesus also like that, who is trying to guide us in this world. He's trying to guide us in this life. So the words of Jesus are very, very, very important. In fact, the words of Jesus, in most times, are more important than the words of your parents. The words of Jesus most times are more important than the words of your father. They are more important than the words of your mother. And after today, the words of Jesus will also be more important than the words of Mr. Tom. It will also be more important than the words of Sister Wendy. Because Jesus' words, the Bible says that heaven and earth shall pass away. Jesus said, by my words. It means that no matter what you do with the words of Jesus, they'll pop up somewhere in front of you. Yeah, they'll pop up somewhere in front of you. So Jesus made a lot of statements, and I just want us to see briefly
Before Mr. Tom get black out here, I'm sure he's in a hurry to go and inspect the product. When you buy a car for the first time, the first day, I'm sure that he's in a hurry. I'm sure Mr. Wendy is also ready and available. I am available to use. So we want to look at what Jesus said about achievement. One of the things that Jesus said about the word achievement. As we are in this world, all of us want to achieve something. All of us want to go somewhere. All of us want to get somewhere. We want to get rich. We want to marry. We want to make children. We want to do all kinds of things. That thing, we want to achieve things. If you don't want to achieve something, then let me know what I'm to you. There are some people who don't also have any vision, really. I mean, there are people who just there. There are people like that also. But majority of people here on earth want to achieve something, are on course to achieve something. Now, what did Jesus say about achievement? It's something to look at. John chapter 15. What Jesus said about achievement. John chapter 15 and verse 1. The Bible says that I am the true vine. It means that there are vines that are not true. Yeah. I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman, or is the gardener, or is the farmer. Verse 2. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he encourages it, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I, Jesus, have spoken to you. Again, you see, the words of Jesus. The fact that you have heard him, he says that you are clean. I don't know how you want to compare Jesus. I don't know who you want to compare Jesus to. There is no comparison of Jesus to anything. You see, that is why it is highly absurd and it's gross disrespect that we in Guyana will put Hindus, Muslims, and Christians in the same basket and in the same category. It is sheer ignorance. Who is Muhammad? Muhammad was epileptic. He was poisoned by a Jewish woman. Who is what? Gita? What was that? I don't know who they serve. Mother Lakshmi? They are confused. There are so many things they have. Snakes, goats, crocodiles, turtles, tortoises, and all of that. Monkey man, monkey woman. They cannot compare themselves with Jesus, the Christ. There is no match. There is no competition. You are dealing with God and human beings. Jesus speaks and he says that you are clean because of what I've spoken to you. I don't know what Muhammad said about being clean. They like to wash themselves. They wash their hands and their anus and things. And that's what makes them clean. Jesus said, by the words I speak to you, you are clean because of the words I speak to you. Come on, somebody. If Jesus is not the Christ. So anytime you can't be in this church and then say that. You see, the ignorance that we have is that, why are you judging people? What do you mean by judging people? What do you mean by judge? Do you know what judge is? The Bible said, he that believes in him should not perish. So if you don't believe in him, I am not condemning you. The Bible has already condemned you. So if you don't believe in him, you're on your way to perishing. Unless you change. So there is no way. The Bible said there's no... Jesus said, he said, I am the way. Muhammad never said that. Buddha never said that. Sai Baba never said that. Selassie, he was discovered in a septic tank. His grave was inside a septic tank when they discovered him. Jesus said, I am the way. And when you use somebody uses the word there or the, it's a definite article. It means that there's nothing else. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Come on, there's nobody compared to Jesus. Cha. You can call me a fanatic. I don't mind at all. There's only one way. There's only one. You see, that is why even when it comes to sex, those who have sex with the anus, there's something barbaric about your thinking. There's only one hole. There's only one good hole. There's only one nice hole. There's the hole that God made. You can't go anywhere else. That's one hole. I've never seen anybody having sex with somebody's ears. This is also a hole. This is also a hole. Or the nose hole. I don't have time to waste with people who say, please don't bring Hindus and Muslims close. Don't bring them around here. We don't hate them, but they are not the right way. We better tell them they better repent or they go to hell when they die. Jesus said, you are clean. Because of the things I've spoken to you. Man. I mean, who on earth can say that? That because of what they have told you are clean. I can't tell you that. No pastor can tell you that. No bishop can. Even the Pope Francis can't tell you that. No president, no prime minister, nobody, Nakamutu, no go. Nobody can say anything. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, you are clean. He must be very powerful. And that is why even the doctrine, is that Jeremiah, Isaiah? Yes. Hey, the doctrine that promotes baptism above the blood of Jesus is even an evil doctrine. The doctrine where people say that if you are not baptized, you are not saved. It is an error. Why? Because water, which water? Which water washes your sins away? Which water makes you clean? Like some of us, we will not be clean because we will not get clean water. If you go to the sea, I don't know what God did, what we did against God, that we have only brown waters. Like we will never be clean, though. In Guyana, depending on where you live, the water that is coming through your pipe is not clean. So if it is water that really makes us clean, then we don't have hope. Then the Bajans and the Trinidadians and the Jamaicans, they are more cleaner than us. Because when you go to their beaches, you can see the bottom of the sea. I was in Tobago some time ago, and our pastor there was you know, we didn't have time. He said he had wanted to take me on a trip. You go on in a glass boat. So the bottom of the boat is transparent. So as you go, you can see everything under the sea. You try it right here and let's see if you see something. You see everything. So if you want to say that, it takes baptism for somebody to be clean, then you are trying to remove the messiahship and the Christness of Jesus away. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ for anybody's sins to be washed away. The blood of Jesus. It's not water. It's the blood. So it goes on in verse 4. I'm talking about what Jesus said about achievement. He said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in a vine. No more can you except you abide in me. Verse 5 says that I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. For without me, you can achieve nothing. Don't be deceived by the little cockroach successes you have in your life. It's just a matter of time. The wind will blow it away like that. Whatever God does is permanent. I said, whatever God is in it, it is permanent. The Bible says, forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven. It is when God is in something that the thing lasts. That's what Jesus said about achievement. Jesus said that if I am not in your achievement, it is nothing. That's what he said. You can argue it. You can argue you can argue it, you can dispute it. But whatever you think is something, that's not, you see, what we see as something is not the same as what Jesus sees as something. Because the Bible says God is not a man and his ways are not our ways. So, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot achieve anything without Jesus. That's what Jesus said. That's what the Messiah said. That's what the Son of God said. The one who died and on the third day rose up from the dead. That's what he said. He said, you cannot do anything without me. Except the Lord build a house. They labor in vain, them that build. Is it a Wendy? Is it Tom? Is it a watchman watching, but in vain? I laugh at those who can't sleep in the night. I laugh at those who can't sleep without the light being turned off. Like when you sleep, you know what's going on. I experienced this deliverance. It wasn't deliverance. It was my cousin who was attacked by, in Black Africa. You know, these Indian gods are not very common. So, my cousin was in the occult, and she gave her life to Christ, and the pastor was, praying for her. She was going through deliverance. And one night, I was in their house, my auntie's house. She was there. She went to bath, and from the bathroom, she said she was, she entered her bedroom, and then all of a sudden, she sees in the window a beast with about 6 hands, a blue color. I mean, we don't see them things in Africa. Africa is full of black people. So when you see blue human being with 6 hands, it's like, what? I mean, it's a very weird thing. I mean, here, if you go to a shop, you see something on somebody's table. So even if you see it in a dream, it's not so much of it. It's, must be when I went to Kapalani, that's what I dreaming about. Yeah, it's something that has registered in your memory. But when you are in Africa, it's a very, very serious thing because you don't see them things. Do you get it? So she said when she came out of the bathroom and she entered her bedroom, then she saw that creature outside her window, and that creature had a bow and an arrow ready to shoot at her. So she ran into her parents' bedroom shouting. You know, so they didn't know what was going on. And the being was very smart, was very fast, because the bedrooms were, after each other. So it ran to the next bedroom outside, and they managed to shoot her with an arrow. And then she went off. So I was in my visitor's room trying to sleep, and my auntie was calling me. I said, hey, what's happening? So when I went, she wanted me to come to their bedroom. Auntie's bedroom, you don't go there like that. I mean, the culture in which I grew up in, you don't go to your auntie's bedroom like that. Even when you're invited, you don't want to go. It's a sacred place. So upon her insisting, I went to the bedroom. And I saw my cousin on the bed. I mean, you can say she was dead. You can say she was unconscious. I don't know, but she was not responding to anything. My auntie was, hitting her and saying the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, nothing was happening. And I remember the Lord spoke to me to speak in tongues into her ears. And I did that and she came back, And then she started telling us, she didn't tell the parents, she went with me to the visitor's room and she was telling me what happened. So she said she would sleep in the room that I'm sleeping there. I said, no problem. And she was asleep, and I couldn't sleep. Because this blue six-hand something, I have not seen some before. Imagine if I sleep and he comes into the room, what am I going to do? So I said, I ain't mean sleeping. And it was so funny that in between, sometimes you sleep and you don't know that you've slept until you realize that you were sleeping. Then those times come when I slept. I didn't know that I slept. So when I woke up, there was a, hey! Shut up, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I'm looking around, you see. So look at you. I mean, if the thing can come and do something to you, you would have done that thing to you long time. Yeah. Long time. Because when we sleep, we actually don't know anything. Everything about us ceased. All that you hear is your alarm, or you just jump out of your sleep 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock or something. But
All the hours when you were asleep, you didn't know anything that was going on. You can't watch over your own life in the night. Jesus said, you cannot even wake up in the morning without me. And that's why this is Wendy and Mr. Tom are here. Because they are saying they could have gone to the post office. In fact, they could have gone into any office on a Monday morning and say, I do. All they have to say is, I do. But they are saying that no, they want God. And this should be a lesson to all of us. They want God to be the one who will join them together. Because without God, you can't achieve anything. You can't achieve anything. You can't achieve anything. You see, I've been in Guyana for a couple of years. I've noticed how Guyanese behave. Okay. Guyanese like the eating part, not the church part. It's also ignorance. Because they think that the party time is a wedding. The wedding is now. Anybody who doesn't come here to see the ring and the vows, it didn't come. You shouldn't come again. You should go home. Yeah, you shouldn't come around again. Yeah, because the main thing, the most important aspect of today is when Mr. Tom and Sister Wendy stands at the altar and pledge their love one to another in the presence of God the Father Almighty. Not when they had to cut the cake. Yeah. So you see that there are some people who don't understand anything. They won't come to the church. It's just like funerals. If you see funerals in churches, you see people, they are outside when the service is going on. Oh, you better come in. Because you should come and see how you'll be when your time comes. You should come and see how your face will become big when your time comes. You stand out there and think that you won't go. Bible says, Ecclesiastes, the preacher said, it is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a place where there's feasting. Because when you look at the person lying down in the coffin, you say, hey, this is the end of everybody. One day, all of us, we will go one by one. You better buy your casket and give it to Chapel Street Lodge and let them keep it for you. Yeah, you can't escape it. You see, what we do is that we think that we human beings, we think we are guys. You know, especially men around here. Men feel that they are pompous, they are proud, they will not submit to anything, they will not subject to anything. You wait one day, you will die and you will see where you will go. Pompous and you can't submit to anything. This is the real marriage. People come and get drunk and all kinds of things people do around here. You wait and see. Even your life, it is God who gives you your life. Yeah. He will take it back. If he wants to take it back today, you can't do anything. So ladies and gentlemen, let us understand that even to wake up in the morning, to achieve anything, to do anything, to go to work, to even get money, whatever our lives are about, to even buy a car and drive, it's God. It's God. If you don't recognize that, excuse me to say, you are not wise. I didn't want to say the other one, but you are not wise. If there were no visitors here, I would have said it, but there are visitors. If you don't acknowledge that, it's because God is the one who keeps you alive. You think about it. Breathe in, breathe out. And then you breathe in. And then don't breathe out. That's the end. If you try, Jonathan, you want to try? You don't want to try? Okay. Yeah. You experiment. You and see, don't realize that, hey, even common air we breathe, even if it has some garbage inside or smoke inside, is very important. I tell you. And I always find it interesting when people who don't respect God come to church when they are in trouble. They don't go to church. They don't want to hear anything about church. They can't. And then when they are in dire need of help, then you don't invite them. They come. You must understand that you can't achieve anything without God. I remember a lady who one time in a different country we invited her to come to church. We used to invite her to come to church. She said, oh, yeah, tomorrow, a good day. I have some things I want to sort out. When I finish sorting out, all kinds of stories. One day we had a visiting pastor. We were all in the house, an apartment. We were having fellowship. And then she was living about two floors ahead of us. We were on the 8th floor. I think she was on the 10th floor. And then I know what happened to her. Some belly pain, something. I think she was dying. And then, well, as she was dying, then she knew our phone number to call us. So she called and she asked whether, in fact, somebody called on her behalf, whether we can come and pray for her. So the visiting pastor was the one who was being asked. We didn't mind us. So the pastor said, oh, okay, yeah, no problem. Just tell her I'm coming. So the pastor went to the bathroom. He bathed for about half an hour. When he finished, he asked my sister to give him something to eat before he goes to pray. All of the time, the girl, they were calling. She didn't die. After half an hour in the bathroom, the food and everything, then the pastor went upstairs to pray for her. When she prayed for her, she got better. Do you know the question she asked? She asked whether we are having a prayer meeting that evening. You see, because now she was in trouble and God has touched her. She's asking whether today is a meeting day. Now you are finding out meeting day. If you were interested, you know when we meet. People take things for granted. You cannot achieve anything without God. The Bible talks about the Tower of Babel. There are some guys who wanted to just build something for themselves. And the Bible says, make a name for themselves. In Genesis chapter 11, they wanted to make a name for themselves. God came in and just changed the whole agenda. It's only God who can give you a great name. I said, it's only God who can give you a great name. It's God who can give you a great name. You cannot achieve anything without me. So you see, those of us who are Christians, let us look at our secular jobs and our other engagements as something that will not make us great. Because you look at our system. I find the Guyanese political system very, very deceptive. Oh, it took 23 years for some people to be fired, including pastors and all kinds of people. If Jesus tarries, human beings are wicked. The next time government changes, some people lose their jobs too. So why should I give myself to these people? Why do you want me to support them? It is because of God that I can become anything. Not the political situation. Any Christian who behaves like that is not wise. If you get any job opportunity, if you get any position by any government, please, you must stay inside with your eyes open. Get four eyes to open. And realize that as for you, it is God. This thing here is just something physical, but it is God who is making something in your life. Otherwise, you should go and see. They are calling it ethnic cleansing. I don't know how come it can become ethnic cleansing when every position is occupied by somebody who's colored. Yeah. No, that's why. You see, it's very tricky. President Granger is an Anglican. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will not be deceived. I'm a pastor. He's a politician. We are two different people. Church and state don't mix. I understand that. And you must understand that also. So that if you find yourself in any category somewhere, it's just a job. It's just a job. You should go and ask them. They fired people. Pastors have been fired. Pastors have run away from the country. Why? It's just a job. Why would you put yourself in a position to be humiliated by that? When Jesus said, without me, you are making it into something else and somebody else, that without them. It is Jesus who said, without me. Let's make it like that, without Jesus, not without something. Yeah, even your job. If you're a Christian, let me tell you, if you're a Christian and you go to work, we used to have that attitude when we used to live in Europe. You know, you work in a company and then 2 months later, Friday, as you are getting ready to go home, then your boss will call you. And he will say, don't come on Monday.
your job is finished. Your work is finished.
Then you ask, what work is finished? Every day we come, we will get a job to do. How come my work is finished? And we develop this thick skin where we will go. We will go to church the Sunday and we'll go and share testimony. We'll go say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is good and His mercy endures forever. My testimony is, on Friday, my boss called me when we were about to leave. And he told me that I shouldn't return to the workplace anymore. But I thank God for all the tribulations because I know Jesus is alive. And the people be clapping like that. It's a testimony. It's a testimony. We are not going to go home on Friday evening. Why? It's Jesus who said, without me, not your boss. It's Jesus, not your workplace. It's Jesus, not whatever you have. It's Jesus who said that without me, we should rather be sad and we should be depressed when Jesus moves away from us. Rather than, yeah. For many of us, we will exchange. Oh, Lord have mercy. As I've also been in Guyana, I've heard pastors who have migrated to America and left their churches. You see, they are trying to tell us that for without America, they can do nothing. America. Yeah? It's Jesus who said, without me, not America. I'm sure if they give you a visa, you go right now. Because you, America, is what will make you prosper. Not Jesus. Yeah? That's what people find it very interesting when they see us around. They say, so what are you? Why are you in Guyana? Why Guyana? Why not Guyana? The place where you don't like, that's where God is. God is more in Guyana than in America. And I came looking for God properly. That's why we came here. It was Pastor Rafa. I was talking to Pastor Rafa. And I think he was talking to some guys in Milton Keynes, Mary. And about something. And he was talking about some 100 pounds. And so the guy says, they can't donate 100 pounds. I said, 100 pounds? Even me here in Ghana, I can give you 100 pounds. They live in England for so many years, they can give you 100 pounds. $30,000+. At least when I get my salary, I can close my eyes and give that to you and just go. Yeah. Because I don't owe anybody. I don't owe nobody. My relationship with the bank is that they keep my money for me. When it's finished, I don't go there anymore. Yeah, when you don't see me at the bank, it means my money is finished. When you see me, they miss my money has come. Yeah. That's the relationship I have with the bank. Pcha! Oh, yeah. What? Deals on wheels. Deals on wings. On wings, rather. Wings, not wheels. I am not mover. It is without Jesus that I can do nothing. Not without their things. Oh, please. Christians, let us live our lives properly. Let us sit up and let the world know that it is more of Jesus than what they can offer us. Because they can offer us anything. And that's why Jesus said, what shall it profit a man? What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? What shall a man give in exchange
for his soul?
So whatever we have around here, let us really behave and act the proper way that this world is not our home. We are just passing through. Don't build. If you have properties around, it's problems. Oh, it's problems. My father died and left one house for 8 children and a wife. How do we share it? It's complex. Because I know he doesn't want to deny any of his children of anything. But when you give one house to a wife and 8 children. That's the key. 5 rooms, 9 people. How do we divide the rooms?
We have to add the kitchen, the toilet, and the living room to make it 8.
It's problems. And you all know that those kind of houses, nobody invests their money, invest any for any reason. The roof will leak. Nobody will mind. Because it is not wise to put your money in family property.
You waste your money.
Because when you come and say, I fix the roof. And so,
It's for Alawi.
You can't claim anything. Okay, so take the roof. There are so many houses around in Guyana where people are family feud, family fighting. So even when it comes to property and all of that, hey, please. It is without Jesus, rather. If you don't have Jesus, I beg you, don't live here the same. Take Jesus into your heart before you leave here today.
Hallelujah. Let's pray. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Let's finish this part and then we'll do the ceremony. I know Sister Wendy is ready. She's been ready for a long time. I hope Mr. Tom can handle her, you know. Because lighthouse women, they are too much. Let's pray. Father, thank you for speaking to us today. I thank you for speaking to that brother, speaking to that sister. I know our lives will never be the same again. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. While every eye is still closed and every head is bowed, I can't close this first part without giving you the opportunity to give your heart to Jesus. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be born again. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, if you reject the only begotten son of God, mind you, you will pay a price for that. The Bible says, if we believe in Jesus, we will not perish. If we believe in Jesus, then we will have everlasting life. Now, the Bible says, to show that you believe in your heart, you must confess with your mouth. So that you will be saved. For the Bible says it is with the heart that we believe. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Pastor, I don't want to go to hell when I die. I want to be born again today. I came to Sister Wendy's wedding. I came to Mr. Tom's wedding. Or somebody invited you to this church today. You know if you were to die right now, you're not sure where you would go. There's heaven and there's hell. Choose. If you want to choose heaven, then you need to pray this prayer. Pastor, please pray that prayer with me if you are here like that. While every eye is closed, just your right hand up high and I'll pray with you. Pastor, please, I want to pray that prayer this morning. If you are here like that, you want to pray that prayer. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. Pastor, please pray that prayer with me. God bless you. I see that hand. Just don't be shy. Don't be shy. When you go to hell, don't be any shyness. God bless you. I see that hand. If you lifted up your hand, I want to just ask you quickly, come forward. Let me pray with you quickly. And we close. Come, my dear. Come. Clap for her as she comes. God bless you, sister. Oh, clap for her. She's coming. You want to join? Come. Come. God bless you. Come. Are you coming? Oh, lead me. Come. God bless you. Oh, clap for her as she comes. You want to join? Don't go to hell. Don't die and go to hell. Just pray that simple prayer and your life will never be the same again. Come. God bless you, my dear. God bless you. You want to join her? Come very quickly. Come very quickly. I want to pray with you before we close right now. All right, let's pray. Please pray this prayer with me. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe God raised him from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe that by this prayer, I have been saved from hell. I am born again now. And my name is written in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.